How does your garden grow?
It's time for Greening Out with Jim on 95BFM.
Morena, Jim. How are you today?
Morena, Rachel. I'm well. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. Nice to have you on the show to talk worms this morning. We've got a lot of wormy texts coming in already, but where should we start in the world of worms?
So, I guess with a little intro to worms. And they are very, very cool.
Yes.
There's over 200 different species in New Zealand.
Whoa. In New Zealand?
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
17 being introduced. The rest have been here forever.
That's so cool.
It's very cool. And they're still finding new ones. Like, you know, people are digging them up and then taking them to, I don't know, scientists. And they're being like, oh, here's a new worm.
Oh, my God.
And they're figuring out lots more stuff about them every day. Which is very, very cool.
That is very cool.
It's actually quite lovely.
It is very lovely. And they're such cool critters. I think they're like, I don't know, they don't get the credit that they're due in the garden or in the world. So I guess maybe a little bit of an intro to them, some research that I was doing last night, which was utterly fascinating.
Did you go down a wormhole?
Uh-huh. I went down a little bit of a online wormhole. But yeah, it's one of those ones that I probably can't come back out of now that I'm in it.
Yeah,
so,
worms for life,
I'm
man.
I'm a worm long hauler now. there are four main types. So there's the compost earthworms, which are like tiger worms and regular ones that roll up in your compost.
Oh,
they
yep.
can eat their body weight in food each day.
Oh, ooh, wow.
And they multiply really quickly and turn all of your scraps into really good soil and castings. The
nice.
Second type are called epigeic earthworms.
Ooh.
They live on the surface under the leaf matter. And so what they do is they go up, they munch on the leaf matter, and they bring it down into the soil to make all of those awesome nutrients available to plant roots. The third type is the endogeic earthworms. And these are the ones that you're most likely to come across in your garden.
I was going to ask which one's the one we're going to spot most likely.
You're going to spot the endogeic earthworm.
Nice.
So what they do is they burrow in like horizontal burrows.
Ah.
Yeah. And so they munch along the stuff and then create all these nice little pockets for air and water to get down to be more available to plant roots.
Nice.
And they also allow carbon dioxide to get out. So
very handy.
And the third main group is the anisic earthworms. And they have vertical burrows in the ground. They eat leaves and organic matter on the surface of the soil, and then they pull it deep down into the soil again, like enhancing all of that wonderful stuff that your plants need to eat.
Wow. I've never thought about how all the different worms have like different houses, different little functions. I kind of just thought they all did the same thing.
No, they've got completely different vibes, and they all contribute positively in their own way, which is very, very cool. Their castings or their like shit is very good for everything in the ground. And I guess their piss is worm tea or worm juice, as you would call it. And that's like an ultimate great plant tonic. So I guess a little bit about farming worms.
Yeah, so this is, we've already had a lot of questions about this. Like, if there's so many different types of worms, how do you kind of get them in your garden, and how do you get the right ones? It sounds like they're all useful, but how do you sort of start out? What do they need?
To farm worms, you need compost worms or more specifically tiger worms. And so if you know anyone with like a traditional worm farm, they once they're happy, they multiply so often, and they're kind of, their population stabilizes with their space and the amount of food that you're feeding them.
Got you.
So they'll kind of self-regulate. So if you've got a booming population, you can take them out and give them to a friend.
Oh, nice Christmas present.
Exactly. You can get them if they're already in your compost, or I got given like a nice worm farm from a neighbor, and I just went online and ordered, I think it was like a kilo of live worms, and they turned up on my door the next day. So you can totally get them.
That's so cool and Halloween-y.
it's very cool. And there's like all different types of worm farm systems. There's like there's a really great one that's designed in New Zealand called Hungry Bin. That's probably the most common green one that you see.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all sorts of ways you can make them yourself with really like, you know, free or salvaged materials.
Okay. How do you go about it?
So you're going to need like kind of two or three different chambers. You can use like polystyrene boxes or even like old buckets, and you want to drill holes in them. So the top one's going to be where the worms live and eat.
Got you.
So if you've drilled holes in them, you can use like an old mesh cloth or fly screen or cheesecloth or something that's going to allow juices down, but not the worms. So if you've got, if you've made like a nice little bed of paper and scraps, you put in some nice kind of soil and compost, introduce your worms that your neighbor's given you or you've bought online or you found in your compost bin, and then slowly top it up with all of your food scraps.
Cool.
Over time, they'll eat the food scraps and then turn it into their castings, which is like the most beautiful soil imaginable.
It literally and looks then, like, I don't know, like it's so gorgeous. It's so like dark and fine and lovely to look at.
It is so beautiful, and it's the like ultimate plant food, and their worm juice that comes out of it. So that's what the holes that you've drilled into, as they eat and piss and everything, all that stuff comes down to the bottom, and you can collect that, and it's like, yeah, the ultimate plant tonic. It can be quite strong once you've collected it, so you want to dilute it down to the color of like weak tea.
Oh, yep.
But there's all sorts of like ways you can do it, and like highly recommend if you don't have like a traditional worm farm, just go on YouTube and look up DIY worm farming, because a lot of people are making really cool stuff out of things that they find.
So
it's totally doable.
Someone's texted in saying that they had a worm farm in a flat in London and the worms kept escaping, so they had to be particularly careful at night.
Where did they try and go?
I don't know, just hanging out somewhere else perhaps. We've got a couple of wormy questions coming in, Jim, before we move on too far here. Someone's got a question about, what are the worms that are pale orange and they get quite flat? Are they also pest worms, and should you look out for them or get rid of them? Do you know much about those?
I don't know much about those specifically, but as far as I'm aware, I don't think there's any pest worms out there.
Okay.
I may be wrong, so don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure they're all good.
Sweet. Cool. Any worm's a good worm, pretty much.
I believe so. And there's some really, really big ones. Like there's a, I think it's called like the North Auckland worm or something, and that can grow like over a meter. It's real chunky. I've never seen one, but I saw a picture online last night, and it blew everything that I know about worms out the window. Crazy.
Wow. Was that in West Auckland, did you say?
No, I think it's just called the North Auckland worm.
I think it's maybe
endemic to this region, but I'm not 100% too sure.
Sick. That is awesome.
Oh my God, I just looked up a picture of it. That is a big worm.
It's chunky, eh?
That's so good.
I don't know what I'd do if I came across that. I guess I could be impressed.
How do you get the like worm poo, the castings, from the bucket into your garden? When do you sort of know that they're ready, and how do you kind of keep your worms back in the bucket? What do you do with that sort of process?
If you've got like a home job, one that you've made, you lift off the lid, and so they need to be in the dark, and they need to be kind of moist. They don't need to be wet, but like nice moisture content. So if you've opened your homemade bucket, you want to scrape the first like inch off, and that'll have a lot of their like eggs and smaller baby worms in it. So separate that aside.
Mm.
And once the light kind of hits that top layer, the worms don't like that, so they're going to go deeper. So then you can scrape off the next layer and then leave it for a bit, scrape off the next layer. And you'll come across some worms in, like, I don't know how many layers you get down to. But then that's, you know, good stuff that you put on your plants, and then just fill it back up again.
Nice. Okay, easy as. That sounds pretty good. We've had a throwback to tomatoes, because, I mean, it is still tomato season. Someone wants to know how to identify a tomato that they copped at the Avondale markets. Not sure what it is. Is there a way to know before the tomato grows?
Probably not, to be honest. You might be able to tell if it's like a bush or vine tomato based on, like, the shape of the leaves and the kind of habit that it's got, but to be honest, they all look pretty similar until they start, you know, being more of an adolescent plant and trying to set fruit. So
exciting mystery tomatoes. It'll
just be a cool surprise. And,
exactly.
Tomato surprise.
Yeah.
Any other good worm tips we should know? What's a good way to sort of distribute the case? I always want to call it castings. I always want to call it casings, like a little worm case.
You could do that too.
How do you distribute it in your garden?
Well, you just pile it up next to the plants, or if you're planting things, you can use it instead of like sheet pellets or compost.
Oh, cool.
Eventually it'll get down into the soil and just improve it overall.
Yes.
But worms are like, it's where they're like one of the things that'll save us. Like, there's so much food waste out there. Like, I was doing a bit of research last night, and there's like 150,000 tons of perfectly good food wasted in Aotearoa each year. Apparently just enough to feed the entire population of Dunedin for 3 years.
That's so cooked.
It's wild, right?
That is wild. What?
And this is like perfectly good food. And if we like, I don't know, people can scale it up. So apartments, I don't know, talk to your body corp about getting some of those like good bin systems in the basement or wherever you put your I don't know, rubbish or recycling. Have some of them next to there and give them away to your neighbours. And
yeah,
I don't know, it's a really cool solution that I think everyone can do
hard
if
out.
They want to do it.
Hard out. We've got a question from someone saying, is there anything you shouldn't feed your worms? Any foods that you shouldn't be putting in your worm farm?
Yeah, totally. I think some like onions and citrus.
Yep.
Don't really like that stuff. And they'll kind of avoid it. So it'll end up, I guess, kind of maybe rotting in your worm bin.
Not so good.
Yeah, and I guess, like, I don't know, animal waste, I probably wouldn't feed them that, but,
So fair enough.
There are some things that they don't like, but generally, like, table scraps and everything is totally sweet.
So things like bread and rice, is that all right to stick in there?
I mean, not really. If, like, I don't know, if a couple of bits of bread or rice get in there, they'll probably eat it, but those things as well can harbour, like, bacteria and kind of offset the natural balance a little bit.
Okay, so avoid that stuff. And also, what about eggshells? Someone wants
totally
to know.
Sweet.
Oh, eggshells are cool. Oh, there we go.
Eggshells are cool. I'll crush them up a little bit, but I think they actually need some of that stuff.
Oh, that's good.
Mine don't really... there's still kind of bits of eggshells in the castings that I get, but that's all good for the soil anyway.
Yeah, totally. Oh, Jim, thank you very much for bringing us the mighty worm this morning. I'm going to look up that giant worm now because I'm fascinated by it.
It is a long, long worm.
And we're going to get to making some DIY worm farms at home. That sounds heaps of fun. Thank you very much.
Oh, yeah. Kakite.
Kakite.
From the smallest seed grows a mighty forest.
That was Greening Out with Jim, only on 95 BFM.